On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about issues related to utility regulation and how residential ratepayers are affected. In this fiscal year, the state has helped more than 41,000 eligible households pay their past due utility bills at risk of disconnection. It's about $22 million in federal energy assistance. That's according to a data report from the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program. Have you fallen behind on your utility bills? How have you been managing? What assistance have you received? What is the state of broadband where you are? 800-642-1234 to join in. Rebecca Cameron Vaughk is chairperson of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. Commissioner Vaughk, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be back.
Well, the PSC, starting with broadband here, the PSC has awarded tens of millions of dollars in broadband grants over the past 8 years or so. And you're saying you estimate 400,000 residents lack broadband. Where are we at with this issue? Are we any further ahead on solving connectivity?
You know, I think we are. And I think what we've seen in terms of investment as it's ramped up over the last, 8 years has been that as we get out into the communities, we have a better understanding of who really is underserved. So in years past, we have relied on mapping data from the Federal Communications Commission, from the FCC. And what we have learned is that those numbers vastly understate the number of residents who either don't have any service at all or who don't have what is considered to be broadband service. So we are definitely making progress. There's a ways to go. As you indicated, we estimate that we still have about 400,000 residents that don't have the access that we need. But what we're seeing is as the conversation around broadband increases and we're hearing more about it at the local level, we're coming up with some innovative ways to get at those last residents to ensure that they're getting connected. So, Governor Evers declared 2021 the year of broadband access, and that is a sort of a signal to underscore the fact that it's going to require strategic investments, but also things like a line extension grant program. We've heard from a number of residents who will call the PSC and they'll say, look, I'm looking at the internet service provider out my front window. They are laying fiber in the roadway, and I've asked them if they can connect my house, but they've told me just to come up the driveway, it's going to take $8,000. And so the grant program would be one way to help residents offset the cost in that type of a situation.
I'm wondering how you see the Biden administration's American Jobs Plan factoring into this, wanting to spend $100 billion on broadband and really prioritizing local governments and nonprofits and cooperatives rather than, larger private companies. How do you feel about that approach?
I mean, I think it's going to take all types of approaches for us to get 100% connectivity. So I think that that's a great place to start. I also know that at the local level, there isn't the technical expertise, and quite frankly, there just isn't enough staffing at the local level. So one of the recommendations that we've made is to have a broadband connector pilot and make planning grants available to local community leaders, local economic development corporations, because they know where the need is, right? They're kind of the boots on the ground and they understand where the need is specifically in their community. What they need is they need to be connected to resources, both financial resources and technical resources, in order to make applications for grants or in order to be able to pull down those federal dollars. The Governor Evers has also been very clear that he has committed to using at least $200 million of federal dollars to get at broadband connectivity in Wisconsin.
So this broadband connector pilot would be kind of shepherding the process through in their own community. How would that work?
Exactly. So what we would do is, and we tried this out in 2020 as a pilot, and we had so many more interested applicants than we had available funding, which to me demonstrates the need for this type of assistance. So what we would do is the technical experts at the PSC would partner up with local community officials, and they would help them through the process of here's where you go. You know, the first step is, have you identified a provider in your area? A lot of times what we hear from local community representatives is, I don't even know who the internet service provider is in my community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very simple step one, where we can provide that assistance. We can provide that help and make those connections. And it's a way to help the local community representative who oftentimes wears more than one hat, right? They're oftentimes doing more than just one job. So this connectors pilot is a way to provide technical and financial assistance at the very local level.
Before we move on here, is there any talk about the PSC, you know, making broadband a public utility, folding it in with the other utilities?
You know, I am anxiously awaiting to hear the final report from the Task Force on Broadband Connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
That report is due in June. One step that we have made is we had a suggestion that state law be rewritten to relax some of the requirements around a municipality from being able to provide broadband. So current law allows a municipality to start providing broadband in their community if they meet a number of requirements, which we have learned over the years that those requirements have really acted as a barrier to some of these small municipalities being able to provide broadband. Reedsburg comes to mind, mm-hmm, as an example of just a really progressive municipality who was able to get this done. And what we had proposed in the governor's budget was that we relax some of those requirements. And it's similar to how we electrified rural America, right? I mean, mm-hmm, over 100 years ago, it was the same situation when it came to getting electricity to the hardest to reach places in America. We turned to the rural co-ops to help build that last quarter mile. And that's, in my opinion, that's the type of innovation and that's the type of tool that we need here as well, to try and make it easier for local municipalities to provide service. And it's not to push out the big internet service providers. I will say that during the pandemic, especially, we saw the larger internet service providers step up in a very big way. But at the end of the day, there are still gaps in the state where the private internet service providers have said they're not willing to go because, mm-hmm, the return on investment isn't there. So in my mind, that's where we as the state should be stepping in to help fill those gaps.
We're talking with Rebecca Cameron Vock, who is chairperson of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. What questions do you have about the PSC, how it works? What do you want the chairperson to know about utilities? And as a ratepayer, 800-642-1234. Tom is joining us from Viroqua. Hi, Tom. What is your question?
Yes, good morning, Commissioner Vock and Ms. Piskamp. In 2005, under Act 142, the administration of the ratepayer-funded public benefits program was assigned to the Public Service Commission. But since then, the PSC has relinquished most decision-making and administration of the programs to the statewide Energy Efficiency and Renewables Administration, CERA, which is made up totally of utility executives and operates with no public input and no obligations to Wisconsin's open meetings laws. CERA has in turn awarded contracts for most of the operations of the Focus on Energy program to large out-of-state entities. How does this arrangement fulfill the initial goals of the state, in-state public-private alliance that was the original intent of the legislature?
That's a great question. And I'm sure, as you know, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Focus on Energy program this year. And so you're correct. When state law was rewritten, it required the establishment of the board of CERA as a board. And that board does include representation from utility companies. However, it also includes representation from other entities, including the PSC. In terms of how the programs, the energy efficiency programs, are designed and how they are implemented, the PSC still does, in fact, have jurisdiction over the implementation of the programs, but more importantly, over the planning of those programs. It's called the quadrennial planning process. And what we do it at the PSC. We do it as part of our open meetings, and it is always available for comment by members of the public. And then we deliberate in an open meeting after providing notice of that meeting. And the three of us talk about how we think the Focus on Energy programs should be designed. And it's meant to really allow for flexibility in energy efficiency programs so that we are able to build on past successes and we are able to make tweaks or changes when we see that a certain type of program maybe isn't getting the traction that we originally thought it would get, or that it's not achieving energy savings at the level that we were hoping for. So, you know, currently Focus continues to partner with nearly 110 utilities across the state. And we do know from an independent study by the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab that Wisconsin's Focus on Energy program is the most cost-effective program in the nation. And for me, it absolutely continues to underscore the fact that investments in energy efficiency are the lowest cost way to avoid having to construct additional generation or transmission. And we're really fortunate that our Focus on Energy here in Wisconsin returns $4.80 for every dollar we invest. And those are economic benefits, they're environmental benefits, and of course, energy savings, because energy efficiency has the effect of driving energy costs down.
So when we come back, we're going to look at that program in regards to solar and what has happened there. Rebecca Cameron Bach is chair of the Wisconsin PSC Public Service Commission. What utility challenges does your community face? How do you want the PSC to address it? What do you want the PSC to prioritize or take on with utilities? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with PSC Chair Rebecca Cameron Bach here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing issues before the PSC that affect homeowners, that affect renters, small businesses with utility costs. What questions do you have about Wisconsin's transition to clean energy? Do you support how the Public Service Commission and energy companies have progressed? What effect are utility costs on your overall budget and your energy burden? 800-642-1234. Rebecca Cameron Bach is chair of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission, and she's with us for about 9 more minutes. Mark is joining us from Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Mark. What is on your mind?
Well, I've called in on this before, but I wonder how the Public Service Commission supports Focus on Energy that gives us a kickback or a payment for installing solar panel systems, which I did, but then allows my utility company to charge me extra every month for having the solar panels. It seems paradoxical.
Mark, thank you. Commissioner, what can you say about that?
Sure. So there are absolutely incentives for the installation of rooftop solar, and then each utility has its own tariffs as it relates to customer-sited solar or customer-sited any type of generation, really, customer-owned generating systems. And so we review those tariffs specific to each individual utility. And when and if there are concerns about the way that those rates are written, we look to comments from customers and members of the public. That becomes a part of the record, and it becomes a part of our deliberations when we look at each utility's specific rate.
Yeah, but what are the market limitations for solar panels? Is rooftop solar worth the energy savings for homeowners, especially lower income households?
I think that we're seeing a lot more interest and a lot of studies being done on the access of solar panels for low to moderate income families. And beyond income, it's where your house is, or if you're in a house. If you are renting, then your ability to take solar energy becomes a little more complicated, right? So you would have to be in a service territory where community solar is offered as an option, or you would have to sign up for a utility company's green pricing tariff, where they commit that your load would be using only renewable sources of energy. But it is complicated, and we understand that it's an issue, and it's something that we're looking at as it relates to lower to moderate income families.
Looking more broadly at utility rates, last month we were talking with Tom Content, who heads up the Citizens Utility Board, and told us that both We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service do not plan to raise utility rates in the next year.
From a bottom line for ratepayers, and it's good to see these things when you can push off any increase, especially during a pandemic. That's a good thing. So we're still waiting and to see what gets filed by the other three main utilities, Xcel, Alliant, and Madison Gas and Electric.
Commissioner, how long will these rates stay in place? I mean, what can we expect here?
So we can expect that for the WEC utilities, that's We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service, they are going to stay out. So they wouldn't have new rates in effect until the beginning of 2023 at the earliest. We also received a notice of an intent to settle a case by Alliance Utility that was filed last week. So I think as we look ahead, we're seeing that, yes, there is the promise of holding rates steady for the next year, the next 2 years. But we have to also keep in mind that there's capital dollars that are being spent as well, right? So we know that there are new solar farms that we have approved at the commission, and we know that those come with a capital cost. So at some point, I'm expecting that we will see all of the major investor-owned utilities come in to adjust rates.
Yeah, what are your concerns still as you look at how to regulate solar energy and you green light these projects, you know, like a battery storage project in Dane County for renewable energy?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's incredibly exciting, and it's incredibly complicated, right? The transition from the traditional baseload generating facility has now morphed into smaller projects from a megawatt standpoint. Mm. And the increase of battery storage, as you indicated, you know, we've got about 200 megawatts of battery storage in the queue right now that's planning to be built in Wisconsin. And it's a relatively new technology for us here in Wisconsin. I think it's fantastic that we have approved nearly 1,500 megawatts of new solar. But as I indicated, that also comes with a cost. And so we have to pay special attention to what the impact on customer rates is going to be as we see coal facilities being retired early and the influx of new generation projects being built, we have to come up with ways to try and mitigate the rate impact on customers.
We're talking with Rebecca Cameron-Vach, who is chairperson of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. I want to land here on water and water infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of issues when it comes to water, like PFAS and replacing lead pipes and preventing nitrate pollution and pollution from ag runoff. What is the state of water infrastructure and what role can the PSC have in cleaning up water in our state?
We know that our water infrastructure is aging, right? And we know that there's been a lot of deferred maintenance done on our water infrastructure. We do have a lead service line program at the PSC, and that allows for utilities to come in and put in front of us a program that would allow customers to have assistance from their water utilities to pay for their side of a lead service line. We've seen that operate very successfully in about 8 communities. We anticipate receiving more applications as it relates to lead service lines. We also are really active at the national level looking at affordability. Water affordability hasn't been something that has garnered a lot of attention over the years. But we know that together with their heating, their electricity costs, that water costs are an important input into a household utility burden. And it's something that we are paying much closer attention to now, as we know that upgrades need to happen to the water infrastructure in order to ensure clean drinking water.
Commissioner, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Rebecca Cameron-Vach is chair of the 3-member Public Service Commission. Just ahead, we explore why LGBTQIA plus people are especially vulnerable to discrimination in healthcare and what can be done. What can be done to improve access with a family nurse practitioner? I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.